Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clote in Washington, D.C.
We are pleased that the Western government, USA and other like democratic governments in the world, they will respect the Sudanese choices in making these revolutions. And Sudan is coming to a very fruitful time in the history.
Sudanese opposition coalition and the Transitional Military Council signed a power-sharing deal Saturday.
Frankly speaking, if people are killing others in that region, it's not up to the sultan to take care of the local population. This is the mandate of the republic.
A Chadian opposition leader says President Idriss Deby's recent sultan appointment deviate from tradition, creating tension and violence.
For years, I have talked about income disparity, especially in the public sector. And when we are the public policy makers, we should make policies in a way that benefits the country and the people generally.
And a Liberian senator asked his colleagues to sacrifice for the nation. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. The Sudanese main opposition coalition and the Transitional Military Council signed a power-sharing deal in the capital Khartoum Saturday. The deal effectively paves the way for a new governing council. It will comprise 6 civilians and 5 from the military ahead of the next elections. The power-sharing deal followed months of protests due to what organizers said was the high rising price of fuel. The demonstrations led to the toppling of the government of President Omar Hassan al-Bashir. Reacting to the landmark power-sharing deal, Dr. Mohamed Al-Ansari, a leading member of the opposition Umar Party, told me citizens of Sudan are optimistic about the future.
Umar Party is a part of a Declaration of Freedom and Change, which is a group leading the revolution in Sudan, and they managed to kick the previous regime and remove Bashir. And now this agreement, which highlighted the major important milestones which Sudan's are coming across. We have 3 slogans which December Revolution raised: freedom, peace, and justice. This 3 slogan is very important now to put it in reality and try to implement it in a form of equal residentship and equal partnership between Sudanese people to build the country.
Now that this deal has been signed, what are the expectations of the Umar Party as part of this opposition coalition in this agreement?
As Umar Party, we are very optimistic about what is coming. So we reach an agreement which it can guarantee and sustain the civilian rule in Sudan. One of the major obstacles holds Sudan back on the last 30 years, which is a military coup and military regimes. Now Sudan, it will be led by civilian government, and that civilian government can negotiate a peace agreement with the armed forces and can sustain a system that can guarantee good governance, implementing peace, and delivering justice in a very systematic and equal way. At this moment, Sudanese people are very optimistic, and Sudanese people now are in the streets celebrating this agreement, and all people in Sudan now are very happy about future of the country, because we are pleased now all our neighboring countries, they will treat us as the friends, not as the enemy. We are pleased that the Western government, USA and other like democratic government in the world, they will respect the Sudanese choices in making these revolutions, and Sudan is coming to a very fruitful time in the history.
Talking about optimism about this agreement, does that include the commitment of the Transitional Military Council to abide or keep its word and ensure the full implementation of this agreement?
So now the Military Council role, it will be ended by forming the council that will lead Sudan in the next era, because Military Council is covers the period between Sudanese people leaving, removing the last regime. The prime minister already it has been selected, and this prime minister will form his government, and we have a presidential council which will be oversight the government, and also we have parliament will like implement these rules. We have a true and genuine system which can lead civilian to rule and control the government.
What about the issue of human rights? Remember during the demonstrations, quite a number of people were killed. If this new prime minister is installed next week, will the UMA party demand immediate investigation and punishment of those masterminds behind this human rights violations?
Yes, accountability is very important in the new Sudan. One of the main reasons that it holds Sudan back, and also it created dishonest between Sudanese people in ruling the government or controlling the country, which is the abuse of austerities, human rights abuse, and all behaviors that conducted by the previous regime or by the security forces in Sudan. Yes, we will keep all people accountable, all people. Already we have a system to hold a fair trial, and we will not take revenge.
Dr. Mohamed Al Ansari is a leading member of the Sudanese opposition party, UMA. He spoke with me from London. The leader of the Chadian opposition party, the Transformers, says President Idriss Deby should widely consult elders in the area before appointing any new sultan. Success Masra says recent appointments appear to have deviated from the tradition, which he says creates tension and in some cases violence. His remarks came after opposition groups accused the president of interfering in the tradition after he appointed a new sultan of Wydai. To learn more about their concerns, I reached Success Masra, leader of the Chadian opposition party, the Transformers.
This is a very big issue in this country. The sultanate of Wydai is one of the oldest kind of sultanate in this country. And before the independence of this country, and even when you consider from the independence to date, more than six presidents, including the current president, came in power. We didn't have this kind of problem. The problem is that the power in N'Djamena wants to impose a candidate. And this is not the first time it is happening. It happened even in the southern part of Chad, named Sar, where they wanted to create a sultanate. The population didn't agree with this. There was even a kind of a local referendum saying that they didn't want this candidate, but the president decided that this one was his candidate. And what is happening now in Wydai is the same situation, basically. And it shows that the power in N'Djamena is just applying the cynic rule of dividing to rule the country.
The president, I understand, has the power to appoint a sultan, and that is what he has done. As an opposition leader, why do you disagree with the power that he has?
It's not a matter of the power that he has. It is the abuse of the power, because this is a tradition. And when you say tradition, it means that people have some traditional rules of appointing, you know, of considering their leader at local level. So we are not opposing the fact that he can appoint. But this is a country where, basically, even the president, he appointed himself as a sultan in his own village. It shows you the sense of, you know, the leadership you have in this country. And what is going on there is the result of a long kind of conflict. From 2016 to 2018, more than 100 people died. And from the beginning of this year, 2019, almost 100 people died from the conflict in this part of our country. And instead of resolving the problem, so they decided to change the sultan now. And instead of, you know, putting in place, considering the wise people on the ground, considering the opinion of the population, they are trying kind of to impose someone. I think the best thing to do as a leader is to make sure that you create a dialogue so that people can discuss. And, you know, it's about leading people on the ground.
The president suspended six of the sultans for incompetence, and he wants to put somebody in place who is competent and who is able to address the needs of the people in that part of the country. So how do you reconcile that with your proposal?
I mean, you know, this is just the world. The problem is that the Sultan, they don't have weapons. They don't have the army. They don't have the police. If you are in a concrete and a serious country, it's the Ministry of Administration and Police who is going to resign. But instead of doing that, the president is trying to find someone and to give a sanction to someone on the ground. This is why he decided that it should be the Sultan. But frankly speaking, if people are killing others in that region, it's not up to the Sultan to take care of the local population. This is the mandate of the Republic.
So, Success, why would you go in the street with your party officials going to hand over flags to Chadians without going through the appropriate channels?
It was just to put a few number of our members at the corner of the street and to give just the flag to the people, actually. So there was no need for us to request an authorization because it was not a demonstration. It was not a kind of public kind of gathering in big number. Even though we should, say this to stress something, people should understand that, you know, across the country, some, they go for demonstration, for protest. They don't need even some authorization to do that. But for us, it was just to give flag to the people, you know. It was the National Day, and we just went there to give the flag to other people. And when I came out of my car to give the flag, the police just started shooting us, and more than 12 cars of the police, full of policemen, were just, you know, they came and they basically our headquarters was like, you know, we were in a situation of war, actually. And this is not normal in a democratic country.
Success Masra is the leader of the Chadian opposition party, the Transformers. He spoke with me from the capital in N'Djamena. A Liberian senator is calling on lawmakers and other senior government officials to make sacrifices to help save money for the country's development. Abraham Darius Dillon says Liberia needs to cut spending and save money due to economic challenges facing the country. He also said he has asked for his monthly salary as a lawmaker be divided into two. Dillon favors taking $5,000 and depositing $10,000 to be used for social development in his constituency. He told me it is not fair for public sector workers to make all the financial sacrifices while government officials are handsomely rewarded for their work.
I believe that it is during this period national leaders should craft national policies for national good. It's time that we make the sacrifice for our country and our people. Slash our money. If what it is said that lawmakers make over 10,000 to 15,000, let's make the sacrifice. I am urging my colleagues to please, let's take 5,000 every month and return the rest of the money so that government can use that money for the people and the country. Why we are finding means to improve our economy. So that is why I am starting with this sacrifice as an example. And I mean it from my heart that I will only accept a salary and income benefit and all put together in a sum of $5,000. And any amount over that will be put in an escrow account that will be managed by the county so that we can assist with little projects and other humanitarian issues here and there until this thing becomes a national policy where we slash money across government.
Are you expecting your colleagues at the Senate to follow your lead? And so far, what has been the response from them?
This, I believe, is a positive move. It is nationalistic, and I'm looking forward to my colleagues. We are 103 in the legislature of Liberia. If we slash for money, we can save about $1 million every month and about $12 million or more every year that can go to the public health sector, our education sector, the agriculture. And if this policy goes across the executive and the judiciary, we'll be saving about $40 million every year that we can put back into our country and our people. And I will be encouraging my colleagues, and I will be calling on the people of Liberia to impress upon the legislature, especially because we, as lawmakers, we determine who gets what. And if we have the courage to reduce our money, and then we have the courage to reduce other people's money, including the president's money, including all other government officials who are making at least over $10,000 a month so that we can put it back into our country and our people. It's because our country and our people deserve it. They deserve better.
One of the reasons why you are taking such a step is because of the poor prevailing economic conditions. If the economy improves, will you go back and accept what lawmakers are making, or you think this is too much and that even when the economy improves, lawmakers should be paid $5,000 with the $10,000 put in an escrow account to develop parts of the country?
When we set in place policies that will improve our economy, it will make sense that we can make some incremental increases everywhere. I cannot imagine taking home $10,000 or $15,000 every month and paying a teacher $150 every month, and that teacher will have to work for 10 and a half years before that teacher or that policeman or that health worker or that civil servant can realize what I will take home every month. It doesn't make sense to me. To me, it's just hopeless.
Dylan, what do you say to your critics who are saying that this is just a mere publicity exercise to make you look good and make your other colleagues look bad and greedy, and that because you recently won by election, you just want to make noise for people to recognize you and to win the next election? Your response to that?
Long before I became a senator by the blessing of the votes of our people, I've always talked about income disparity gap in the country. When I was a staff in the legislature a few years ago, we fought together for staff incentives to be improved. And thankfully, it was improved from $27 a month to $150 a month. Now I'm a senator. I'm asking that we reduce ours because we are the leaders. The leaders should lead in a way that the people and the country will be happy. And then all of us together, we are happy. This is not a political stunt. For years, I have talked about income disparity, especially in the public sector. And when we are the public policy makers, we should make policies in a way that benefits the country and the people generally.
Abraham Darius Dylan is a Liberian senator. He spoke with me from the capital, Monrovia.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the continent has seen a decline in the number of authoritarian regimes since the 80s, but still, the number of democracies has not increased significantly. A report card on democracy on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
The leader of the Malawian Human Rights Defenders Forum, a political pressure group, has sharply condemned what he says was an attempt on his life and that of his family. Timothy Ntambo says unnamed individuals threw petrol bombs at his sleeping household. Critics, however, say the incident appeared to have been state-managed to appear to look like supporters of the ruling party were behind the alleged attack. To learn more about the alleged attack, I read Timothy Ntambo, leader of the Malawian Human Rights Defenders Forum.
Some criminals and thugs came to my residence around 2 a.m. and they threw three petrol bombs at my house premises. As I speak, my car was torched, and fortunately we came out and controlled the fire before it affected the house. I was in the house with my kids and the entire family, and that pained me that somebody was looking for my life. Then it was very, very unfortunate that that person would even sacrifice to kill myself and my children for committing no crime, but for demanding accountability and the demand for good governance in our country. So I confirm that really happened.
Have you reported this incident to the Malawi police, and has investigation begun?
I reported this matter to the Malawi police, and even last year, we had the same incident at my office where they petrol bombed and attacked our guards. We reported the same to the police. Up to date, we have not had any progress. So the challenge that we have here in Malawi is that the trust of the police has become a problem, and as I speak, people are worried as to whether the police is going to bring out anything that will inspire confidence in the public And as I speak, citizens of this country are very bitter. The situation is actually very volatile. So we would want the police to demonstrate and probably inspire confidence in the citizens by making sure that justice prevails. If that does not happen, then we would expect an independent institution like the Malawi Human Rights Commission to have an independent investigation in the matter.
Timothy, some people are expressing concern that you have been one of the main masterminds organizing a series of demonstrations that they see as trying to destabilize the country and plunge the country into chaos, although they said what happened to you last night was unfortunate. How do you respond to that?
That's totally untrue. In fact, we have been organizing peaceful marches. Citizens of this country have been demanding electoral accountability. But our government is not responsive, is not democratic. Our government is dictatorial. And as I speak, marches people have cried for the past 2 months, taking it to the streets, demanding electoral accountability, demanding the resignation of Jen Ansah. Jen Ansah has never responded, and the president has been quiet. And we have had pockets of violence which we have condemned as human rights defenders, but we know that those people are deliberately sent by the ruling party to cause confusion so that it should appear as if demonstrators are violent. The police actually have been deliberately provoking the demonstrators to be violent.
Timothy, some people are saying that if your group, or for that matter, you have concluded that DPP or ruling party supporters are behind this attack, then why call for an independent investigation since you have already concluded that, you know, they might have been guilty in carrying out this attack? Why not allow the independent investigation to carry out to punish the perpetrators?
Thank you very much. We have given the hint to the police because, like, the past week, we have received a lot of threats. Actually, most of the threats were directed on me, death threats for that matter, and we have not seen any sort of condemnation from the government. And as I speak, there were some WhatsApp groups where people were discussing, the DPP cadets were discussing on how best they can deal with me. And people have those numbers and have tried to find out who are behind, which names are behind those numbers. And it's clear it is the cadets that are actually behind those numbers. So what we're saying is that we want them to investigate those numbers. Because it's not a coincidence that this week people are discussing on how to kill me. And the same week you see people attacking my house. So we are saying we have not concluded to say they are responsible. It is an allegation. We are raging because of their behavior, the way they have been behaving, attacking people, and the way they have been discussing even how best they can assassinate me. So we are saying this is an allegation, and we want the police actually to investigate them to make sure that by the end of the day, justice prevails.
Timothy Ntambu is the leader of the Malawian Human Rights Defenders Forum. He spoke with me from the capital, Lilongwe.
Yes, just say yes to the weekend. Hi, everybody. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Let me help you maximize your weekend with a beautiful musical journey across the continent. This Sunday features music by artists like Simi, Kyra RV, Juan de Cole, Catch Them Young Salon. Song of the Week takes you to Uganda with Masaka Kids Africana. And we pay a tribute to Ivorian king of Coupe de Calais, the late DJ Arafat. So this weekend, tune in with me this Sunday at 15:05 and 20:05 UTC on Music Time in Africa. We'll be right back.